I've been thinking a lot about community engagement lately, which is a jargony word that public radio hosts use when they really mean getting the public to pay attention. With the national media spotlight permanently glued to the new president's decision-making and scandals surrounding Russia, as well as the number of terrorist attacks that we've seen in the past month, it's hard for local news organizations to effectively engage the public on issues like lead poisoning or local sales taxes, things that affect you more immediately and tangibly than a lot of what unfolds in Washington. With Investigative Post, as well as many of our local newspapers, television stations, and radio stations winning AP awards this weekend, those are the Associated Press Journalism Awards, I thought we could discuss the importance of local journalism with somebody who has devoted his entire adult life to it. That's Investigative Post founder, executive director, and editor, Jim Heaney. Welcome back, Jim. How are you?
It's a sunny day in Buffalo, so we're all is well.
You've seen the sun?
I've seen the sun. That's right out my window.
A very limited resource here in Eastern New York. So good for you. What was Investigative Post honored for this past weekend at the AP Awards?
We won first place for mid-sized television markets for investigative reporting for a piece we did with WGRZ that aired on their station on lead poisoning and the miserable job the city of Buffalo was doing to test residences for lead poisoning. It turned out that they were testing for lead poisoning in white neighborhoods where no kids were lead poisoned and largely ignoring the inner city where all the lead poisoning cases are. And then we won third place in the mid-size markets for radio stations for a piece that aired on WBFO, one of the stations that carries this program, for a piece that Dan Telvac did on a landfill in Niagara County, about 20 miles north of Buffalo, that the state had originally said did not pose any threat to health until they decided it did pose a threat to health. and yet authorities had done nothing to secure the landfill to make sure that people stopped using it as a playground and whatnot. So both pieces were done by Dan Telvac, who's our environmental reporter, and it really shows the strength of the partnerships we've got.
Absolutely, it does. Radio and television certainly act as sort of a megaphone for the original reporting that you do at Investigative Post. But you have earned awards on your own as well.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of years ago, Steve Brown and I did won an Edward R. Murrow Award for a piece we did, a couple pieces we did on the city's inability to solve homicides. So yeah, I mean, I've done all right for myself over the years, but I'm more focused on when I was at the Buffalo News. After a while, the awards meant a little bit less. But now that I'm running an organization that has to sing for its supper, it's important to us to get recognized for our work because people who fund us like to see that, we're recognized by our peers for good work. So it's always gratifying to be able to compete with other news outlets that almost invariably have more resources than we do.
Right.
And still, walk away with a little bit of hardware. So it's not why we do what we do, but the recognition is nice anyway.
Oh, it absolutely helps. There are some excellent local news outlets in New York State, which prompts me to want to discuss with you this question. Why are local newspapers and some radio stations and TV stations, which are so critical, finding sustainability elusive at this point?
Well, because let's put nonprofits aside, because in the nonprofit world, which is the world I occupy, it's kind of an evolving, emerging business model, which is finding traction. I think the for-profit media is where the challenges are, and the challenges are because the business model ain't what it used to be. Newspapers and television, newspapers are in a lot worse shape than TV stations, but, it's primarily based, the revenue is primarily based on advertising sales, and in the case of newspapers, circulation sales, and the internet and mobile has kind of blown up the advertising part of it, as well as the circulation part. So, newspapers in particular, they're selling a lot fewer newspapers. They're selling a lot fewer ads. The classified businesses, all but dried up.
Right.
And it's kind of a downward spiral that has yet to bottom out, and I'm not sure when and where it does bottom out. So it's, the challenges are that, again, I'm going to kind of focus on newspapers because TV, TV is losing audience, but at a much slower pace. And there was a Pew did its annual, State of the Media study that was released. The first part of it was released, I think, last week, and it was really striking. One of the questions they asked people is, where do you go for your news? Which media do you consume? And newspapers now only account for 4% of news consumption, which is pretty scary because newspapers are still doing the bulk of the substantive reporting. But it's still dominated by television, and to a growing degree by digital sources. Mobile is where it's at these days. I mean, it's in radio is kind of holding its own, but newspapers are just
You can't watch TV or read the newspaper in the car, and that's why radio holds its own.
Yeah. Plus, who doesn't want to listen to Susan Arbetter?
Clearly, I mean, really, the dulcet tones. So, with the election of Trump and the divide that the country is seeing politically, I know that there are more people who want to, quote, get engaged. Is that translating into more subscribers for you the way it has for the big papers like the New York Times and the Washington Post?
Well, our model is a little bit different in that, the vast majority of our audience is derived by distributing our reporting to our partners. So it's what's seen on Channel 2, it's what's heard on WBFO, it's what's read in the alternative weekly here that we publish through the public. We're starting to get some work in the Times Union in Albany.
Yeah, I read that. And, that's fantastic.
Yeah. It's not a lot, but it's a relationship that's gaining traction. And of course, I'm with you usually every other week, which is a large audience. So most of our audience. One of our challenges is to grow more direct audience through our website, through our social media, and we're gaining traction there. But when we do a story on Channel 2 that airs on the 6 o'clock news, that's going to get 65,000 viewers, and that dwarfs anything anybody's doing on the web, unless you're like Google News or the Washington Post and the New York Times. So, we reach a very large audience. When our reporting goes out on all the outlets I mentioned a minute ago, we're reaching more than 250,000 people, which is really more. It's the broadest reach of any news outlet in upstate, including the dailies.
So that's a lot of people that you're reaching. Does it translate into doing the work, does it translate into community engagement, doing the work that participatory democracy requires the public to do?
Is measured by comments on stories and things like that? No. Donations? Yeah. I mean, the more, the better known we are and the larger of an audience we reach, the better known we become. And the better known we become, the more willing people are to support us through donations. And that's really, for a nonprofit, you need kind of a diversified revenue stream. But in the long run, it's very important, much like public radio or public TV, you need a strong membership base,
yeah,
you know, that small donor base, and you know that
and that's community
our
engagement. Yeah, that counts.
And that's growing. I mean, it's not nearly where it needs to be, but you know, we're gaining traction. We do events, and that's another form of engagement. And we actually had an event right before the inauguration. The theme was social justice under Trump, and you know we packed the room. They were literally out the door to show up. So, you know, Trump has been, I guess, good for the news business in the sense that people who value objective journalism, hard-hitting journalism, are waking up to the need to get engaged by reading, by subscribing. I mean, the Washington Post and the New York Times and some of the other national outlets, they're really doing the heavy lifting on Trump, have seen a spike in particularly online subscriptions. We don't sell subscriptions. I mean, we're you can get our work for free online. So it doesn't translate that way, but it's a challenge that nonprofits really around the country are grappling with. Is how do we take this newfound awareness and appreciation for legitimate journalism and translate that into financial support?
Exactly, especially when local news and what's happening at the local level is much more tangible and affects people more intimately than what goes on in Washington a lot of the time.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's a challenge. I know that we've contemplated what to do with the whole Trump dynamic. And the way I guess we've kind of landed is, you know, the national outlets are doing, I think, on balance, a good job of staying on top of the Trump presidency. Here in Buffalo, the Buffalo News is doing a reasonably good job of writing about what the local impacts of Trump's policy proposals would be locally. You know, I've got three reporters here, and you know, we're locally focused, and we need to stay that way. And you know, is there going to be a Trump story that comes along that we're going to want to do at some point? Yeah, but you know, we're focused on the environment. We're focused on criminal justice. We're focused on kind of corruption and malfeasance. And on a local and state level, there's more than enough of that to keep us busy. So, you know, we're not, there's no need for us or local media to go bonkers over Trump, because the world, there's a whole world beyond Donald Trump that needs to continue to be covered. And, you know, as newspapers and other outlets tend to downsize, you know, there's a growing gap of that accountability journalism that, you know, we feel that's our role to fulfill.
That's sure, and that's your bread and butter. Last question for Jim Heaney. I think that we all have to compete for the public's bandwidth with, you know, the Buffalo Bills and Kim Kardashian's tushy and Real Housewives of New Jersey. And, you know, it does, with people so focused on Washington, is that harder for local news outlets like yours?
I don't think it makes any difference. I think if you're writing compelling, or if you're producing compelling journalism on issues that matter to people, they're going to pay attention. I don't think the general public wants Trump 24/7, Trump news 24/7. You know, everybody has their lives to lead, and it involves a lot more than what goes on in Washington, as you said. And so our job, and I think any local outlet, is what's important to your audience and what's relevant to your audience, and you need to be taking care of those people. And you know, my attitude is, you know, the Washington Post and the New York Times and whoever are more than capable of keeping an eye on Donald Trump. Let me keep an eye on Andrew Cuomo or Byron Brown or whoever locally or statewide needs to be watched.
And let me just end by saying, re-quoting the League of Women Voters slogan, which is participatory democracy now I just forgot it. It just went right out of my head.
It's like not a spectator
sport. It's not a spectator sport.
There we go. I bailed you out, Susan.
Thank you. I appreciate that. If you want to read the stories that iPost was honored for, or really anything that Jim Heaney has done, investigativepost.org. We've been speaking with the founder, executive editor, and executive director of Investigative Post, Jim Heaney. Great to speak with you.
Support for the Capitol Press Room comes from Politico New York Pro, Politico's news and insight service, equipping professionals with up-to-the-minute politics and policy news alerts so they can do their job better. Learn more at politicopro.com/New York Pro.